Good evening, this is Patrick Donahue. As always, we appreciate you listening. The number to call, as the announcer said, is 877-655-6755. Lines are wide open. If you have a Bible question or comment, 877-655-6755. Give us a call. I thought we'd begin by talking about a passage in Matthew chapter 15. Jesus is speaking here in verse 14. He says, I think talking about the Pharisees, he says, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." Jesus teaches by analogy quite often. And here the analogy is, let's say two men are walking through a pasture, but both are blind, and they come up on a ditch. What's going to happen? Well, they're going to both fall in the ditch. We need one of the men to be able to see so they can either walk around the ditch or walk over a bridge or whatever. Now, the blind teacher here, or the blind leader, represents the false religious teacher. The blind follower in Matthew 15:14 represents us if we allow that false teacher to lead us astray. The ditch here represents H-E-L-L, being lost. So, what we see from this passage is that we can't just follow blindly whatever our preacher tells us. If he teaches false doctrine and we follow it, we're going to be lost too, not just him. The same goes for me. You make sure I'm teaching you the truth. If I'm not, if I can't put my finger on a book, chapter, and verse proving everything I say, then you should just let what I say go through one ear and out the other. Don't accept it. Don't let a false teacher lead you astray, because if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, in the same chapter, in verse 9, Jesus said, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men." This is what false teachers do. They teach the commandments of men when they should be teaching the commandments of God. And this verse says that if we follow the commandments of men, our worship will be in vain, useless, or worthless. And you can't go to heaven if your worship is in vain, useless, or worthless. One of the reasons that we worship God is so that we will be saved, so that we'll go to heaven. But if it's not going to accomplish, if our worship doesn't accomplish that purpose, if it's vain, we won't be saved. We won't go to heaven. So we have to make sure then that we are not teaching the commandments of God, that we're not following the commandments of men. Because if we're following, teaching, believing, accepting the commandments of men, our worship will be in vain. The blind will be leading the blind. We will fall into the ditch. We'll be lost. Jack from Arizona, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hey, good afternoon. How you doing today?
Good afternoon, Jack.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's a question I have about Joel Olsen. I've listened to him for several years, and I understand how you feel about him. But one thing he does do at the end of every one of his sermons, when he gives a prayer for repentance, with audience, he always does say, if he said that prayer, we've been born again, then he tells the audience to get into a good Bible-based church. That last statement gives me a different opinion about Joel in some ways. What do you think about that?
Well, first of all, he said if you pray that prayer, you're born again. Is that what you said that he said?
Yes, sir. We believe you've been born again, he says.
Yes, but Jesus says in a passage like Mark 16:16, Jack, he says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." And when he's talking about being born again, Jesus, that is, in John 3:5, verse 3 talks about being born again. Verse 5 elaborates upon that. He says, "Except a man be born of water and of a spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, what do you think that's talking about there, Jack, being born of water?
Being born of water, the remission of sins, having the sins washed,
or
through the blood.
Yep. Born of water there, according to Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, would be talking about water baptism. So an integral part of being born again, Jack, is not just trusting in God, but you got to obey. You got to be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and Joel Osteen is in effect saying you don't have to. See what I'm saying?
Yes, right. I disagree with that. I agree with you on that part. I do. But the one thing he does tell his audience is to get into a good Bible-based church, and then maybe they could learn more. Do you believe people have gotten into good Bible-based churches on what you're saying?
Okay. Jack, I will agree 100% with those words of Joel Osteen that we ought to try to join ourselves to a local Bible-believing church. But based upon the things that I've seen when I've watched him on TV, what he teaches,
yes.
I'm kind of thinking that his definition of a Bible-believing church and my definition might not be the same. You know what I mean, Jack?
Right, yeah.
Jack, we appreciate your call. Sure and listen next week.
Okay,
same
bye.
To you. George from Texas, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Yes, how are you doing today?
Good to hear from you, George.
Hello? I attended a service this morning, and a pastor came out of Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, and his leader speaks about the parable of the sower, and he equated that to tithes and offerings. And he gave, you know, his explaining those scripture verses, but then he also talked about the tithes and all that stuff there. And then he said how he played the lottery the day before and he didn't win, and that he only won $4, but he didn't win the mega thing. It's about $500-600 million now. And my question to you is, there in scripture that pastors, believers can play the lottery or not? And I listen.
Hey, George, I want to mention to you about the parable of the sower, okay?
Okay.
The parable of the sower is not talking about contributing, like the guy was saying, if you give to the church, then you will receive some benefit. That's not what the parable of the sower is about, okay?
Right.
The parable of the sower is about when the farmer goes out to sow the seed, it's talking about teaching or preaching the gospel, not giving money to some church or anything like that. You're out teaching the gospel. You sow the seed. You had the parable of the sower in Luke, Matthew 13. In Luke 8, verse 11, it says, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. So you're throwing out seed, not money. You're throwing out the word of God. And then it falls upon different types of ground. I believe it's four different types of ground. It falls into the good ground. That's the good person with a good and honest heart. And he accepts what is said and then becomes a faithful Christian and continues in that. So first of all, that parable of the sower has nothing to do with contributing to church, but has to do with trying to preach the gospel. And we've got to preach the same thing. Let me mention something to you, George. We were talking about if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. George, if you plant watermelon seeds, and you're successful, what's going to grow?
Watermelons.
But you're not going to get cantaloupe. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
So if you want Christians, you're going to have to sow the Word of God and the Word of God only. Let me give an example. If you preach Mormon, and I'm going to use an extreme here. I've planned to get to the Mormons if I have time. If you preach Mormon doctrine, the Book of Mormon, and people are converted, what will they be?
They're Mormons.
If you preach Baptist doctrine, and they're converted, they'll be Baptist. If you preach Methodist doctrine, and they're converted, they'll be Methodist. But if you preach the Word of God, and the Word of God only, all of it and nothing else, when they're converted, they'll become Christians. Now, I mentioned the Mormons. I wanted to talk about them because they're a perfect example of if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Now, let me give you a quote from a Mormon book. This is not from the enemies of the Mormons. This is from the Journal of Discourses, a Mormon book. It says, God was once a man who progressed to become one of many gods. Now, in contrast to that, John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. Luke 24:39 says, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Isaiah 44:6 says, thus saith the Lord, I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is no God. And so the Bible flatly contradicts this Mormon position that our God, the one that we worship, was once a man, and then he progressed to become one of many gods. That's Mormon doctrine. The Mormon gospel is different than the Bible doctrine. And if you follow Mormon doctrine, That would be the blind leaders. The blind leaders would be the Mormon teachers. If you follow what they say, you'll be a blind follower of a blind leader. You'll fall into the ditch. Let me read you something else the Mormons teach. This is from the Articles of Faith by James Talmage, of course, a Mormon. This is a Mormon book. He says, every man that follows Mormon gospel will become gods with a planet of their own to populate. So not only that our God, the true God, used to be a man and became a god, but any man who will follow Mormon gospel can eventually become a god himself. But in contrast to that, Revelation 21, verses 1 through 3, context is talking about in heaven. It says, God himself shall be there, talking about men, their God. So when we get to heaven, we won't become a god. Our God, the God we read about in the Bible, he will be our God when we get to heaven. That's false doctrine. The Mormon doctrine is false. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Just a good illustration of how we cannot follow false doctrine. If we do, we'll be lost. Phil from Michigan, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, Patrick. I'm very confused by your teaching that a person's church attendance record directly affects whether or not they go to heaven. Can you expand upon that a little bit? I think what I'm really getting at is what kind of a percentile range do you need to be in to be sure that you can check that box, the church attendance record box?
Well, Phil, Hebrews 10:25 and other passages teach we ought to attend church, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So the command is that we're not to forsake the assembly of the church. That's a command. That's instruction from God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, sin is the transgression of the law. God's law is that we ought to attend church. Sin, that it becomes sin if we don't. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever the church you belong to meets, you ought to be there. And when you don't, that's sin. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Now, I'm going to follow that up with one passage, Phil, and then I'll let you give another word. James chapter 2, verse 10 says, if we offend, whosoever shall keep the law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. So, Phil, how many times can we miss church and still be acceptable to God with God?
Well, I have to admit, I miss church quite a bit. I never go on Wednesday, mm-hmm. but I don't go on Sunday night either because that's when I call into the program. I'm working on Sunday night, so... So I'm not going on Sunday night or Wednesday night, but I am a born-again believer, and I believe that that's going to qualify me for heaven, being a born-again believer, not my church attendance record.
Well, there's where you might be mistaken, Phil. We have to go by not necessarily what you think or I think, but what the Bible says. Phil, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9, the Bible says that Jesus, talking about Jesus, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. That means if we don't obey Jesus, if we don't obey his word, the Bible, we won't be saved. And the command is that we're to attend church. And so if we don't obey that command, we're not going to receive eternal salvation according to Hebrews 5 verse 9. And how many times does it take? Just one time. As I said, if you offend in one point, you're guilty of all, James chapter 2, verse 10. So I suggest that any listeners out there that aren't attending church, you should. The old saying goes, you should attend church every time the doors are open. And if you're not, then you need to repent and make that right with God, ask him to forgive you, and then start attending church every time the doors are open. Bruce from Idaho, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, I'd just like to say, you know, that you were talking about the Mormonism, you know, with me living up here in such a big Mormon state, you know, that was really a truly blessing to me to hear you explain that to that other guy that called from Texas. I got to say, that really done a lot for my heart, and that really taught me a lot about the different religions, you know. I'm a born-again Christian. I've been saved for, you know, over, oh man, you know, 20-something years. And I got to say, I really enjoyed that comment that you made about Mormonism. It was such a blessing to me.
Bruce, I appreciate you calling in and your encouragement. I want you to do me a favor. Are you driving right now?
Yes.
I want you to do me a favor and try to send me an email after the program is over anytime this week at BibleCrossfire@email.com, and we can talk more about the Bible, okay?
Okay.
Thank you for your call, Bruce.
Thank you.
Again, the number to call if you have a Bible question or comment is 877-655-6755. You know, Mormons have probably knocked on your door before, and the Watchtower Witnesses have probably knocked on your door. Now, the Watchtower Church doesn't believe in the deity of the Christ. They don't believe in the deity of Christ. But notice these verses. John chapter 20, verse 28 says, "And Thomas answered and said unto him," talking to Jesus, "My Lord and my God." Thomas called Jesus God. Acts 20, verse 28 reads, he's talking about feeding the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, who purchased the church with his blood? That's Jesus. That's not God the Father, but this calls it the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. So Jesus is called God there. In John 1, 1 and 14, first of all, verse 14 says the Word was made flesh. Well, who's the Word in this context? Verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word was made flesh. That's obviously talking about Jesus. It says the Word was with God. That'd be God the Father. And the Word was God's. That has to be Jesus. He was God also. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born," a prophecy about the upcoming birth of Christ. It says, "His name shall be called," and it gives a number of names, and one of the names is the Mighty God. A prophecy about Jesus calls him the Mighty God. Finally, on this program, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever." And so God the Father, in this text, calls Jesus God. So five passages here, and there are a lot more, call Jesus God. Not God the Father, but he is divine just like God the Father. He is God also. Now the Watchtower, the Witnesses, they say that Jesus is not deity. Do you see how if you follow their doctrine, the Watchtower doctrine, that would be, since they're teaching the commandments of men, your worship would be in vain. That would be the blind following the blind. Both will fall into the ditch. Both will be lost. We must not follow false doctrine, whether it's the Mormons or the Watchtower Witnesses. Aaron from Washington, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
I am calling regarding it being a sin to not attend church on Sundays or Wednesdays or whenever the doors are open. So my husband would tell you that it is a sin to go on Sundays, and the correct day is Saturday because that's the commandment. And so that's a hard one I don't feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me read you a passage, Aaron. We've been talking about the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch, and I was going to talk about the Sabbatarians, which your husband would be considered a Sabbatarian. I want to read for you Colossians 2, 14 through 17. Talking about Jesus, Colossians 2, verses 14 through 17, and it's talking about Jesus here. It says, "Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." So first of all, we're talking about some ordinances. These would be laws ordained by God. That's why they're called ordinances. It says that Jesus blotted them out, took them out of the way, and nailed them to the cross. So they're obviously not binding anymore, Aaron?
They were done away with. After he was on the cross, then those are no longer in order.
That's right. They're no longer binding. We would say like animal sacrifices, circumcision, things like that. The Old Testament laws that aren't in the New. Follow me so far, Aaron?
I am. And unfortunately, they have an answer for everything. Because I have brought up that very thing to him. It's very frustrating.
Okay, but let me read more in the passage and I'll let you tell us their answer. In verse 16, we're following that verse we just read. It says, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." So he gives us four samples, four examples of these laws that have been blotted out and nailed to the cross. And the last example he gives is the Sabbath. So that obviously shows the Sabbath is no longer binding, just like animal sacrifices and circumcision is no longer binding. We can't judge anybody based upon that anymore because it's no longer binding.
I agree.
Good for you,
Aaron.
All right. Do you have any follow-up?
I totally agree. Well, so what I'm saying is that it makes it hard for the kids and I to attend church. And I have a hard time believing that a kind, merciful God would not let, you know what I mean? That he would not allow me to go into heaven because have this situation that I have no control over. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but let me mention something to you, Aaron. You know, the Bible says that a wife is to be subject to her husband, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, just like we're all to be subject to the government, but there's an exception. We're to do what the government says, the law said, unless they contradict the laws of God. For example, in Acts 5, verse 29, when they were trying to get Peter and the others to quit preaching, Peter said, and the other apostles answered, we ought to obey God rather than men. And so, what I'm saying to you, Aaron, is you are to obey your husband except when he tells you to do something contrary to the word of God. And so in this case, you're just going to have to disobey him and take your kids to church on the first day of the week, like Acts 20, verse 7, shows us we ought to. Okay?
Acts 20, verse 7.
Yeah, I'll read that for you when I get there. It'll take me a second to turn over there. It says, and upon the first day of the week, that's Sunday in our society. So let me start all over again. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Aaron, do you know what that's talking about, the breaking of bread there when the disciples came together?
Yeah, it's for the body of Jesus Christ.
Right. Communion, Lord's Supper, that's what we call it. So the church, the disciples, I'm talking about when I say the church, the local congregation, they came together to eat the Lord's Supper and had preaching. What day of the week was that on, Aaron?
Sunday,
first day of the week. That's what we ought to do. Church Sabbath was an Old Testament law. We're under the New Testament law, which is first day of the week. And so the Sabbatarians are teaching false doctrine. They're following the old law. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 4, whosoever shall keep the law, well, excuse me, I've got James chapter 2, verse 10 on my brain. Let me read Galatians 5, verse 4. It says, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. So the Sabbatarians are trying to be justified by the law, the old law, and that's what we're talking about here in Galatians 5. And so, therefore, they have fallen from grace. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. So we cannot let them, like the Mormons, like the Sabbatarians, like the Watchtower Witnesses, we cannot follow them because they will lead us astray and we'll be lost because of that. We're going to have to go off the air. My DJ friend, Ed, just told me I have 1 minute. So we're going to have to go off the air. We can't take any more calls, but I invite, there's looks like 3 or 4 people either waiting or trying to get in. I invite all of you guys to call back next week toward the beginning of the program when the lines are open. Next week at this same time, every Sunday night at 8:05 Central, we'll have Bible Crossfire, and we always deal with Bible subjects and tell you what the Bible actually says in contrast to what the teachings of men say. And we've talked about some of the teachings of men tonight because we were reading about if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch, about false religious teaching. We're going to talk some more about that next week. When we continue this discussion, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall in the ditch. Send me an email at BibleCrossfire@miniemail.com.